thank you so much. And son, I'm just glad you stopped running. Because he was running. Just telling you. He was running. And I got to find tonight. I probably shouldn't even preach. I should probably just go right on ahead with all the stuff that's been going on tonight. Let the Lord just say what he wants to say, and he's already said it, but I've got some things that I can actually confirm for the Lord tonight, and I'm excited to do that. So I want to talk to you a little bit tonight. I'm excited, actually, to be here with you and to talk, because I'll tell you this, God's been doing some good, good stuff. I mean, some good, good stuff. And I can tell you this, I'm just excited to see what he's going to do in the future. Because what he's done up to this point is wonderful. It's amazing. It's awesome. But at the same time, he's got so much more to do. So much more to do. And I, for one, want to be ready for all that God has. And I want to be able to see God do his work in me and in you and in this church and in this community and in this world. Because I promise you this, God's got so much more to do. So much more to do. And I'm thankful for that. I'm so thankful. And I am going to try to find my download here. Sharon, can you come help me find something here? You knew I couldn't find it, didn't you? I had it up. You knew I was just, but what I said was right. It was good though, right? I was afraid it might happen. So I downloaded a copy just to protect myself, right? Just find it, please. No, but I'm so happy to be here. Jamie had mentioned it, and I never expected to be able to do ministry with my son and daughter. And I don't call Laura my daughter-in-law. She's our daughter. In fact, I'll take up for her before I take up for Jamie. So I'm thankful for our pastors and the work that they do around here. You got it? Okay. I'm thankful for the work that they do around here, and believe me, trust me, they do a lot for you guys that you don't even know. They do a lot for all of us that we can't even begin to understand. And, yes. Yes. No, it's this computer, not the other one. But they do a lot for all of us, and they lead us more than just leading us in a physical way to do certain things or act in certain ways and be involved in things. They lead us in ways that help us prepare us to do what God has called us to do. And so tonight I want to talk about digging in with God. Digging in with God. If you will stand for the word, you'll see the scripture on the screen there in front of you. It's Genesis 26, verse 25. And he built an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord. And there he pitched his tent, and there Isaac's servants dug a well. Y edificó allí un altar. Y invocó el nombre de Jehová. Y plantó allí su tienda. Y abrieron allí los siervos de Isaac un pozo. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. You may be seated tonight. As Isaac began his life of connection with God, we could go all the way back to the beginning of the book of Genesis and understand that Genesis is literally, it literally means origin or beginning. So in chapters 1 through 11 of Genesis, we see the beginnings of creation. And in creation, we see the creation of the world that God spoke into existence. We see the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. We see Cain and Abel. We experience the ark with Noah. And then finally, we're introduced to Abram. But then in chapters 12 through 50, we see the beginning of the covenant that God has established with his people. So the beginning of the creation in 1 through 11, 12 through 50, the beginning of the covenant that God established with his people Israel. And by the way, that covenant is still intact today. There's stories about many, many individuals that God worked in their lives. But the foundation of the book of Genesis details the three main patriarchs that we have known in the church most of our lives. Most of us have always heard this little saying, well, he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Those are the patriarchs of the church. So in chapter 12, God calls Abram. And he gives him instructions, and he says that he's going to bless him, he's going to bless his family, and he's going to bless the generations to come. Then in chapter 15, God establishes a covenant with Abram. And in chapter 21, we see the birth of Isaac. Abraham had other sons, but this son was special. Isaac would later have twins, Jacob and Esau. And he would also become the grandfather of what we know as the 12 tribes of Israel. So Isaac was born to Abraham and Sarah because God changed their names as he established the covenant. And he was born to them actually in their old age. Now imagine, ladies, being 90 years old and pregnant. Gentlemen, imagine being 100 years old and finding out you're going to be the father of a new bouncing baby. Look at your neighbor and say, that ain't happening. Not me. No, no, no. Jesus help me. Well, when Abraham and Sarah heard the Lord say that they were going to be parents at ages 90 and 100, they laughed, similar to what some of us are doing tonight. So when their son was born, they named him Isaac, which literally means he will laugh. Now, how's that for a sense of humor? So Abraham and Sarah loved their son Isaac. He was a dream come true for them. And then God told Abraham to take Isaac and to offer him as a sacrifice. And if I were the father of this young man named Isaac, I would say, hold on, God, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Something's wrong here. We prayed. We were old. You gave us a son. Something's wrong. Something's not adding up here. But God told Abraham to take Isaac and sacrifice him as a burnt offering. So Abraham did as God instructed him. You see, that was Abraham's norm. He did what God instructed him to do. And the Bible, all throughout the Old Testament, and even in the New Testament, tells us that when Abraham was told something, God told him, instructed him, Abraham was sure to follow through with what God had instructed him to do. So as they went out to the sacrifice, Isaac, the little boy, Notice that there was no lamb. In Genesis 22:8, after Isaac had asked Abraham about the sacrifice, Abraham said these words, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." Now, I don't know about you, but maybe you've never experienced this. Just a little bit of doubt, maybe. But God, come on, God. I know that you really don't want me to do this, but I'm going to go that way, and I'm going to head that way. But, Lord, can you provide, please? And Abraham didn't shake under the pressure. All he said was, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." Let me pause right here and tell somebody here tonight that God will always provide for you. You may not know what to do. You may have no idea how to handle some things. You may not know what to talk about or how to say things. You may feel like you have no option. But I promise you one thing. If you will follow God, God will always provide what you need. So throughout the next several years, Sarah died. Isaac took Rebekah to be his wife. Abraham died, and Isaac and Rebekah had twin sons named Jacob and Esau. And then a famine hit the land of Canaan where Isaac and his family were. But the Lord came to Isaac, and he specifically told him, he said, "Stay where you are. Don't go back to your home country. Don't go anywhere. Stay where you are." See, God had made a covenant with Abraham because Abraham had obeyed the Lord and did everything the Lord required of him. And God also told Isaac that he would establish a covenant with him. Just as God had told Abraham, he told Isaac that he would bless the nations because of him and his descendants would be blessed. So God indeed blessed Isaac. In fact, God had blessed Isaac so much that the king of that area, the king called King Abimelech, told him he had become too powerful. And he said, "Isaac, you need to leave. You need to go somewhere else away from my city because you're too powerful." So Isaac moved to the valley of Gerar. Incidentally, the name Gerar means lodging place. See, there's always significance in what God does and how he puts things in order. And so he sent Isaac to the valley near the city, but away a little bit, and it was Isaac's lodging place. Again, Isaac had become very wealthy and blessed, so as he camped in the valley of Gerar, his lodging place, he began to do some things that needed to be done. Because you see, after his father Abraham had died, the Philistines decided that they would go back and fill the wells that Abraham had dug. They didn't like him, didn't want to see anything prosper that Abraham had been involved in, so they took dirt and filled the wells. So Isaac went back and found out what had been done, and he redug the wells and gave them the same name that his father Abraham had put on the wells. Incidentally, Isaac redug the wells of his father Abraham because he wanted to restore the covenant that God had set up with his father. And let me pause right here and tell somebody tonight that there are people God has set before you who have prepared the way for you. They have essentially dug wells for you, but the enemy has come along to try to destroy the wells that they have dug. The enemy has tried to cover up God's blessing and to hide the work that's prepared the way for you by filling up the well. And I can tell you tonight, Brother and Sister Brown have dug wells here that the enemy has tried to fill in. And it's time for the church to redig the ancient wells. It's time to restore and lay hold of the work that God has already done for us. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, "It's time to dig." Well, not only did Isaac redig the wells that Abraham had already dug, but he also dug new wells. Isaac dug one well, but when the herders found out about it that were there, they laid claim on that well, and Isaac moved on. But he named the well Esek, which means contention. Then Isaac dug a second well, which they also disputed and laid claim to. And so Isaac moved on from that well, but that particular well he named Sitna, which means hatred. Can I pause one more time before I move on and tell somebody here tonight that when you are following God and trying to do His will, there will always be somebody that will bring contention and hatred your way. When you're trying to do ministry for God and help others, there will always be contention and hatred coming at you because the enemy does not want you to succeed. So don't worry about the fight that's coming. Just keep doing what God has called you to do. In fact, God will continue to help you if you will continue to do what God has called you to do. And God will bless you, and God will help you, and God will guide you, and God will strengthen you, and God will protect you, and God will keep you, and God will watch over you in all that you do. So don't give up the fight. Look at your neighbor and say, keep fighting. See, God's got you. God is not afraid of the fight. God is not afraid of the storm. God is not afraid of anything because He knows that greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. Hallelujah. So Isaac moved on and he dug one final well that no one quarreled about. He kept working for God and finally got to a place where God allowed him to dig that well. And incidentally, Isaac named that well Rehoboth. Rehoboth literally means room enough for us at last. Oh, did you hear that? Room enough for us at last. Some of you have felt like a misfit. Some of us have felt like we don't really belong anywhere. Some of us have felt like nobody loved us, nobody cared about us. Some of us have felt like we have been out of place most of our life. But God says when you come to Him and you depend on Him, that He will dig a well for you and He's going to name it Rehoboth. And somebody needs to hear tonight, there is room enough at last for you. Make room for us. God will always make room. So keep working for God because God is always working for you. Somebody say amen. Now after Isaac dug that well, he went up to the town of Beersheba. That night God spoke to him and reconfirmed the covenant that he had set up with his father Abraham. In fact, God told Isaac, "Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bless you and increase the number of your descendants for the sake of my servant Abraham." And then that brings us to Genesis 26, 25, where I want to spend just a few minutes tonight with you. Because in this passage, I think Isaac does three particular things, three things that are of great significance for you and for me and for our church. Isaac built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord. That's the first thing. Secondly, there he pitched his tent. Thirdly, and there his servants dug a well. First thing, Isaac built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord. Worship. Say it with me. Worship. Especially in the Old Testament, anytime there was a significant event in the life of the church or the life of the people, they would build an altar to commemorate the event, and not just to commemorate the event, but then they would use that altar in worship to God. Now, if we are to be what God wants us to be, we need to push away from the things of this world and give Him the worship that He deserves. Pastor Jamie has been talking about that, how that God is here. The Holy Spirit said tonight, God is here, and it's time for us to stop worrying about the things of the world around us. It's time for us to stop worrying about the things that would distract us. It's time for us to focus on God. It's time productive for us to focus on worshiping God, because really, when it gets down to it, the only thing that matters, the only thing that counts, is that we give Him the worship that He deserves. Somebody shout to the Lord with a voice of triumph. Paul says in Romans 12, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your spiritual worship. John 4:23, a time is coming and has come when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Psalm 95:6, oh come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Psalm 100, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and His truth endures to all generations. Worship Him. Now, maybe you don't have this problem, but sometimes I get caught up spending way too much time on the things of this world that really don't matter. Not you. None of you would have that issue, but I do. Lately, I'm finding myself crying out to the Lord, kind of like the song, you can take this whole world, but give me Jesus. I just want Jesus. I want Him in my life. I want to experience Him every day. Not just on Sunday when I come to church. Not just on Wednesday when we come to church. Not just in my prayer time. Not just when I'm with brothers and sisters of the Lord. No, I want Jesus, and I want Him all the time. I want Him with me. I want Him guiding me. I want His truth to take me where He wants me to be. Give me Jesus. Now, if we're to receive the blessings of God, we have to become a people who worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and give Him the glory that's due His name. First thing that we've got to do is take our worship to another level. See, we can't stay where we've been. Oh, it's been great. It's been wonderful. But we can't stay where we've been. You know why? Because if we stay where we've been, we get stale. God expects us to keep moving forward in Him and in our relationship with Him. God expects us to keep going further and further and connecting in more ways because He loves us. And He wants us to worship Him. Say it one more time, worship. Second thing He wants us to do is wait. Say it with me, wait. There He pitched His tent. Now, in the Old Testament, the tent was the home. When someone would pitch a tent, it meant that they were settling in, that they were lodging, abiding in that particular location. You see, God had given Isaac instructions to stay in that region, so Isaac did as God had instructed him and settled in the valley of Gerar by pitching his tent. Now, this is a sign to God and to everyone who might have been looking at him that he was indeed settling in this area, that he was following the instructions of God. Now, I know this doesn't happen with any of you, but sometimes in my life, I get so busy. And because I'm busy, I get distracted. And I'm all over the place, and I'm going here, and I'm going there, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing that. And because of my busyness, I don't spend the time with God that I need to spend with Him. I don't spend the time lodging or abiding in the presence of God. But if we're going to experience the blessings of Almighty God, we need to learn to abide and rest and wait and lodge in His presence. We need to pitch our tents in His backyard and say, God, I'm not going anywhere until I hear from heaven. God, I'm not moving until I know that you're with me. Hallelujah. We got to wait on God. Psalm 91:1 says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Psalm 46:10, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." Isaiah 40:28-31, "Have you not known, have you not heard that the Lord, the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, faints not, neither is he weary. There's no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the faint, and those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." I understand sometimes we get tired, but we're not here to lay around and rest up for heaven. We are here because God has a work for us to do. God has something specific for us to do, and it does not include laying around. It includes working for him in his kingdom. If you have not found a place in this church to work, it's time to find a place. If you've not found somebody to witness to in the last 2 or 3 weeks, you need to find somebody to witness to. If you've not had a time where you got on your knees and experienced God in prayer, then you need to get on your knees and experience God in prayer. God is ready to take us to the next level with him. See, there are so many things in our lives that keep us focused on other things other than our relationship with Jesus Christ. We need to lodge, abide, rest in his presence so that we can see things the way he sees things, so that we can understand things from his perspective, so that we can do things his way, not our way. So we can talk like he wants us to talk. So that we can live for him. And I want to hook my camper to his truck and go wherever he goes and just hang on for the ride. Somebody say yes. Worship, say it with me. Wait, say it with me. The third thing I want to talk to you tonight about is water. And I needed some of this just a second ago. That is so good. So good. And there his servants dug a well. See, digging wells brought water, and water is life. Do you know that, generally speaking, the human body can go without water for 3 days, and after that, the body will die. There are a few people, because of their makeup of their body, who can go 4 or 5, maybe 6 days, but at 6 days, you're done. Peace out. You're gone. Nothing you can do. Water is life, and we can't live without it. But just like in the physical, the living water, Jesus Christ has come to bring us eternal life. So we need to dig a well, spiritually speaking, so that we have life through Jesus. As I mentioned earlier, the Browns have already dug wells here. For many years, those wells have been dug, but the enemy keeps coming and trying to fill those wells up. So we need God to speak life into us through the living water. Well, not only does water speak life to all those who believe in the living water, but the living water also signifies access and supply for all that God has. I don't think you heard me. I don't think you heard me. The well and the water, the living water, means access and supply. Have any of you ever dug a well at your house? You can always go to the kitchen and turn the faucet on. You're going to have water coming out. You know why? Because you dug a well. That water is in endless supply, supposedly. Sometimes our wells dry up, but God's will never dry up. God's well will never, ever dry up. John 7, 37 and 38, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water." Revelation 22, 1, John says, "He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God." John 4, 14, "But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I give him shall be a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Oh, hallelujah. God is ready for us to dig some wells, and as we dig the wells, God is ready to let that water spring up in us. Look at your neighbor and say, "Dig a well." Paul says in Philippians 4:19, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." What that means is we don't have just a small drip coming from the spout. With Jesus and the living water, we don't have a faucet with a small trickle pouring out. In fact, we don't even have a small garden hose with a good flow of water. No, what we have, the living water, is like drinking water from a fire hydrant. He takes care of us with rivers of living water. His supply is continual and endless, and he will let it pour over us to assure us of eternal life with him and help us to take care of the needs that we have. So as I close tonight, I want to ask the musicians to come on back. And I simply want to ask everybody to join us up at the altar tonight. Would you please just come on down and gather as a family in the altar area? We're going to sing a song, and as we sing this final song tonight, I want to encourage you to follow Isaac, who followed his father Abraham, who received instructions from God that he was to build an altar and worship or call upon the name of the Lord, that he was to pitch his tent, that he was to dig a well. So let me just say it this way. If we want to experience or ever expect to experience the blessings of God like Isaac did, we need to build an altar and worship the Lord. We need to pitch our tent and settle in with God. And we need to dig wells that will connect us with life-giving water. Build the altar and worship God. Pitch your tent and settle in with God and dig wells so that you can connect with the life-giving flow of Almighty God. Come on, let's pray. Lord, we're thankful tonight. So thankful that you love us. So thankful that you're with us. So thankful that you take care of us, God. But Lord, we're tired of status quo, run-of-the-mill, everyday, normal. We're tired of it, God. And you haven't called us to be a normal church, a normal family. God, you've called us to go deeper. You've called us to be a church of worshipers, a family that worships together. God, you've called us to settle in, to pitch our tent, to settle in. Lord, you've called us to dig wells. Dig wells to connect with the endless access and supply of the living water, Jesus Christ. So, Lord, help us tonight. Help us, Lord. We love you. We praise you. And we thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Would you just worship?
Hey, I'm Pastor Jamie, lead pastor here at Lifegate Church in Dalton, Georgia, and I just want to say thank you for choosing to worship with us today. We hope that whether you're watching this live or you're watching this at a later time, that it brings value to your life. We would love to have you join us in person if you're ever in the Dalton area. We're at 2744 Cleveland Highway in Dalton, Georgia. If you'd like to know more about what's going on or how you could get connected with us here at Lifegate Church, just go to lifegatedalton.com. We would love to get you plugged in some kind of way and let us know if there's any prayers or anything we can do for you. Once again, thanks for joining us today. God bless.